preaching Christ from all of Scripture. This is Abounding Grace. You join us now with Pastor Chris Gordon for a time of rightly dividing the word of truth.
Well, thank you for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio. We are studying and continuing our study in this very powerful chapter, John chapter 6, which really is challenging the motivations for why we follow Jesus Christ. What is a Christian? What does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean to be a follower of Christ? All of this is being unpacked here and challenging us at the root, looking at those who are unwilling to really come. Unwilling, so many who are unwilling to really come to him, really follow him, and yet they're following. Now, this is really important that we understand this week. You know, I've said here in the church, you know, I have seen in the ministry just in a few years, so many come in and out of our own church's doors. And I'm not talking about people who go to another faithful church and become a part of that. I'm talking about those who come in, they love what they hear, but they are unwilling to commit themselves. They are surface. They are on the sidelines. And they've got every excuse under the sun. And they're not leading. You see weak fathers who don't lead. You see people who just will not make the commitment. They are exactly what John 6 describes here. Always on the peripheral, always questioning, always having questions, never getting answers, never really making the commitment to Christ, and yet they would say, oh, we're Christians, we're followers. I've said over and over, dear radio listener, I have no idea how one could say they are Christians and yet refuse to join themselves to the body for which Christ died. Just doesn't work. Doesn't work. And to neglect the assembling of themselves, as is the manner of some, to neglect that, Hebrews talks about. So the painful reality is shown to us in John 6, and there are many make-believers, there are many superficial followers. It's on a grand scale. In fact, in this very chapter, thousands will walk away from Jesus Christ when ultimately pressed about their lives and what they need. So this is really important today. They have all come. We left off yesterday. They have all come back. They want another belly feeding. They want more bread. They want to see these things that Moses did in the wilderness. You know, why should, it all comes down to belief here. Why should we believe you, Jesus? What makes you so important? And we left off yesterday with this correlation that they have made to Moses. They recognize powerful stuff he's doing. But what makes you so much different than Moses? This is what they say here. Remember what they say in verse 31. Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. So what sign will you perform, Jesus? What sign that we may see it and believe you? What are you going to do for us? Now, what's in their minds here? Well, Jesus had already done it once. You know, they're thinking Moses did it every day for 40 years. Of course, Jesus corrects that. It was not Moses who gave that bread. But they want Jesus to fill them up again. Give us this bread daily and we'll follow. You be good to us like that. We don't have to work with our hands. We'll follow you. Now, I don't know how well we're seeing ourselves in these people. But the fact is that our comfortability with physical bread and our circumstances, if they're ordered correct and we like them, is much more appealing and satisfying to us than what Jesus Christ has to offer. And the text is tragically showing us that this is really the extent of many religious people's following. I would shiver to think how much this kind of following goes on in the church today. May it not be. Let's learn from John 6. Let us all fear and tremble. It's a severe warning. All of this is a severe warning to those who are playing fast and loose with the kingdom, not taking his church seriously, not taking his claims seriously, not taking him seriously, but just floating. How many floaters do we have in the church today? Just drifters, just drifting. So, verse 32, Jesus addresses their wrong understanding. You missed it. Moses didn't give you that bread. My Father gives you the true bread from heaven. And then what does he say? The bread of God is he who comes down from heaven to give life to the world. I crawled down off my throne. I left the glory that I had. I came here to give life to this dead world. That's my intention, says Jesus. God so loved the world that he gave me. Whosoever believes in me, says Jesus, might have life, everlasting life. Well, now we get to verse 35 of John 6. Oh my, what a verse. Verse 35, as I was preparing this, I just stopped. I couldn't get beyond this verse. It is the most life-transforming verse in the Bible. It explains the meaning of life, why you exist. It answers every single question you've ever had along that line. You ever had those questions? Just trying to figure out life, why you're here, why you exist, why you live, why you get up every morning, what your purpose is in life, what you're living for. Are you so soon to die and you don't know that? Wow. Verse 35 answers it. If you have ears to hear and he can give this to you, then that question, that grand question that everyone's searching for and paying big bucks for today to try to figure out is given to you right here. They say, give us this bread. We want bread like Moses gave that gives life. It's the same answer as the woman at the well, you know. People think their satisfaction comes if their circumstances are ordered right, if they have this thing, if they're filled with physical delights. Remember the woman at the well? I give living water. She says, you don't have a bucket. He says, my water bursts in your heart to everlasting life. Sir, give me this water. Remember why she said that? So that I don't have to come here anymore. I'm tired of carrying water back. I'm tired of all this work I have to do. I'm just tired. Make my life easy and I'll follow. It's hard work. Well, Jesus has the same thing occur here. The bread of God is he who comes down to give life to the world. Give us this bread, they say. We want it. We want to have our bellies satisfied to the full so we don't have to keep coming to get bread. Now here it is. Here's verse 35. Jesus answered them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. I'm the one who's come down to give life to the world. Notice what he says. Whosoever comes to me will always be filled. And whosoever believes in me shall never thirst. See it? Coming to Christ equates with being filled. Believing in him is equated with being satisfied. Same things. That is true faith. You're never going to thirst. You're never going to hunger. You're going to be filled. I'm going to be like that water in your life that constantly bursts out of you, satisfying you, filling you. You will be filled. Are you beginning to see, dear radio listener, so clearly in John's gospel what living is? No. What living is. What life is. It's this burning fight within us to cast down every stronghold in our lives, every other dependence, and delighting ourselves in Jesus Christ alone. This is all over the Bible. Psalm 63, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? I just want to be in your house. I just want to be among your people. I pant for you. You're my satisfaction. That was Psalm 42. What about Psalm 63? God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I've looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. I've looked for you among your sanctuary, among your people. It's all over the Bible. This is equated with joy. I believe that's what he's describing here. The unfilled life is what? Joyful? Satisfied? No. The unfilled life is bitter. It's always full of irritation. It's never really thankful. You know, we just had Thanksgiving not too long ago, and you know, you think about it. You cannot be thankful. I hear the world say, just be thankful at times for all these blessings you have. You cannot be thankful if you are not filled with Jesus Christ and without his joy. It is completely impossible to lead a thankful life because the root of dissatisfaction is what is characteristic of the unregenerate life. Did you hear that? The root of dissatisfaction, the root of bitterness, the root of just an irritated life characterizes one who is unregenerate, one who's not born again. It's lacking in the fundamental thing, the assurance of faith, trust in Christ, joy inexpressible, and fullness of joy, as Peter said. That's what happens in one who's filled. So, are you starting to see the problem? There's nothing about Jesus that is beautiful to the natural man. There's nothing that really makes us desire him or long for him. And here's the thing. Jesus is saying, you may not know it, dear radio listener. You may not realize it, but I'm the only one who can truly satisfy you. I'm the only one who can really fill you and give you what your restless lives are always searching for. You're living for the moment. You're missing the one who can indeed make water abound and spring out of your heart to everlasting life, who can truly satisfy the longings of your heart. Aren't you seeing what belief is? These things are written that you may believe. What is belief? It's that deep, satisfying rest in Jesus Christ. It's that deep satisfaction that so sees him that you're full, you're filled with him, that he is beautiful to you beyond anything our natural cravings could ever push upon us. I've tasted him. I've eaten him. I've digested in my soul the most blessed and fulfilling bread offered under the sun to sinful man, heavenly bread, and oh, is it sweet. So filling. He's like water to satisfy the thirst of my soul. He's like bread in my inner life, filling me with satisfaction. And that's all contrasted here in John 6 with people who weren't filled. Let me leave you with this today. Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet. She's washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Jesus is the treasure. Jesus is the pearl of great price. Dear friends, meet this Jesus. He is the light and life and the only one who can satisfy your weary soul. Founding Grace Radio is brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. As always, we give you an invite to join us for worship 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. on the Lord's days. Visit us on the web at lindenurc.com. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.